I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Sam and Greg, joined by Chris Draft. We get an extra hour now that the football season is, well, regular season is over with. Bo's on the other side of the glass. And we're going to spend this last hour talking mostly just about the games that we're going to see today and what may happen in the Super Bowl in a couple weeks and how life has changed around our city here in Atlanta. We were just talking about the NFL honors. As a matter of fact, let me ask you guys a question, because this is another example of how this city has grown in the events that are going on here. Now, this one is obviously tied to this event on a regular basis, despite the city, but the NFL honors and its list of awards that they give out, there's only a few that have a name attached to it. Case in point, and I would think this would be the Coach of the Year, but this is for the NFL High School Coach of the Year. That's called the Don Shula Award.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
Wouldn't you think it'd be the NFL Coach
I
of the Year?
I would think so.
But that's for the high school. You got the Walter Payton Man of the Year, okay? Mm-hmm. The only other two awards named after a person are the Deacon Jones Award.
Okay.
And the Art Rooney Award.
Now what's the Deacon Jones Award for?
The Deacon Jones Award is... let me see. No, they have just Deacon stats here. I would think this is for some sort of defensive player or pass rusher. They don't have the breakdown in front of me here. Doggone it, so I can't read it. But
probably most sacks. I would maybe that or just.
I would think sacks too. Yeah,
sacks or defensive line.
Except I think Michael Strahan or yeah, he doesn't want to hear that Deacon is technically the leader as far as all time sacks. Do you agree to that?
I agree. You know, I think they didn't keep the total
right.
of sacks before that. And yeah. I mean, he used to head slap and knock people down. So I think he is the leader.
If you were going to give the offensive rookie of the year award to somebody, no, that's not one. That wouldn't be named the defensive rookie of the year. About comeback player, does that deserve a name of an all-time great comeback player?
There's so many, you got to pick which one.
All right, then let's move to the big ones then. If you had to name the defensive player of the year, who would you name it after?
You think of someone that's just the ultimate defensive player?
Yeah. Who would you name
it
after?
You wouldn't name it Deacon Jones. Probably somebody like Butkus.
That's what I'm thinking. How about you, Chris?
I think when most people think about it, they would probably say Butkus. But I think the key is that you don't want to name it after somebody, because when you give out that award, that person could have redefined the position. So it's not... It's about it being them, not as much about them being like somebody else.
Okay, which is one of the reasons why I don't think it would be called the Lawrence Taylor Award, which I think he's worthy of as much as anybody else.
Yeah.
But because of what you said, I don't know. And same thing with Offensive Player of the Year. Who would you give that to if it were named?
Name the day, they probably put Manning's name on it. But, I mean, there are a lot of other players
Manning.
You could get. Probably. I know you don't like Manning, but I mean.
How about somebody who's won more championships than him? Who got more records than him?
We're talking about championships. We're talking about just a guy who, when you think of offense, and somebody that was very prolific offensively, you think of Peyton Manning. I mean, Chris, I don't know who comes to mind for you.
Well, I'm going old school, and I'd say a Jim Brown.
I can say Jim
Brown.
Is there an award named after Jim, by the way? A national one? I can't think of one.
I don't think so.
Or even Jerry Rice. If you want to get somebody who has the records.
No, see, I give you that
one. The way of that one, you know.
Of course, he might try and come back and get a few more
He's
yards.
Still in good shape, man.
Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're just having a little fun with that. That's NFL honors. We were talking before we came on, Chris, because Sam and Bo, who I don't know, Sam's working it, because he's going to be hanging with the mayor during the Super Bowl.
Sam's big time.
Sam's going to be hanging with
Sam
the mayor.
Sam is a big time guy. That's why when he called me and he said, can you come in and hang out with us? I was like, absolutely.
So since he may be down there, they're wondering about this Bruno Mars Cardi B show. It doesn't start till 10 o'clock at night.
Well, you know, Atlanta people don't get out until 10 o'clock at night.
Well,
so.
It's because of this show, this NFL honors. So you're going from this thing at the Fox Theater, folks are going to be jumping in their Ubers and going across town, and then showing up for this concert at State Farm. But
which is it sold out? There's still tickets available for that.
But I think it's long since sold out.
Is that one sold out? Is the concert at State Farm, is it sold out?
I think you can probably find some. You might have to look at StubHub. I can actually check real quick.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that we had talked about during this show was this is the anniversary of the Falcons making it to the Super Bowl for the first time. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, you weren't a part of that team.
Yeah.
But your thoughts of that team and how they got there in that season, and where were you during that time?
So that was my rookie year. So I was with the Chicago Bears that year. But, I mean, everybody around the country saw Jamal Anderson, you were in the Dirty Bird.
Yeah.
And I think if you can think of 1998, it is all about Jamal doing the Dirty Bird. It's all about Morton Anderson. And it's all about timely plays defensively. But the other side of it is, if you talk to the players, it's about people not really believing until about midway through the season that they were as good as they were. And so even though around the country we saw Jamal handling people, smashing folks, we saw defense crunching people, Chuck Smith giving people the business, Jesse Tuggle putting the hammer on folks, there was still a lot of people down here that kind of doubted that it was real. And I think that's when we look back, it's important to realize that even as great as that season is that not everybody believed in it.
So they were slow to get on board. And I remember that, as I mentioned earlier, as someone who grew up around here watching the Falcons and their struggles and that awful, awful divisional playoff game in 1980 against the Cowboys with Danny White's directing traffic and beating them out here at Fulton County Stadium, and just remembering just stuff like that. And you say, okay, can it really happen? So it took a while for people in here in the city. I didn't come to work here until Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving that year. I was still working in North Carolina when the season started. I dropped off in here right toward the end when people finally started getting on board with the team.
By the way, how did that happen?
How did what happen?
Did you move from one to the other? Did you lose a job? Did you just decide to move
back here? We were working with the same company, and the folks there.
It was a lateral move?
Well, I got in the gym. I was a step up.
Congratulations.
North Carolina. North Carolina. But the thing of it is you were with the same company, and the fact that because of ratings, November is a ratings month.
That's right.
So I could not leave until after the ratings in November. Then I could come to Atlanta.
Okay. You know. And boy, you brought all the luck.
That's what he did.
I don't know about all that.
Well, listen, it was November. To what Chris was saying, it was November when them dudes started that winning streak. They got beat by – we had Russell Baxter on here earlier, Chris, and he was talking about how the Falcons had lost to the Jets. And he, remembered the score. It was 28-3. And it was after that, these guys won the last, eight games? And he said seven of the eight games, and I'm looking here again, were all in domes.
Yeah. Yep.
We're all in domes.
That's the old NFC West. I mean, back in the day, the West was New Orleans Saints, the Carolina Panthers, the St. Louis Rams, and the San Francisco 49ers, and then the Atlanta Falcons. So there was a whole bunch of West to that, but the dome of New Orleans, the dome of St. Louis, which was the TWA dome at that time, and
Colts. They played the Colts too, and the Saints.
Hoosier Dome
and Detroit.
Yeah.
So all those dome teams. Anyway, Chris Draft joining Sam and Greg here,
which was the Silver Dome.
Sports.
Did they ever tear that thing down?
Let me tell you something. That's also a funny little thing I throw around in my house. That thing looked like a salad bowl few years ago, and it was sitting out in the middle of nothing.
Right.
And you could have bought the Silver Dome for $500,000. That's how desperate they were to get rid of it. I don't know how much somebody paid for it.
What would you do with it?
I don't know. But you remember it took them two times to blow it up.
Oh, yeah, to blow it up, yeah.
It was the same company that took two times to blow it up here in town to blow up the Georgia Dome.
Man, that was amazing. That was amazing.
Let's get to the – do you have a question for him?
No. I'm just saying we're here on Championship Sunday, and I don't know what your thoughts are.
Well, that's what I want to get to him. I want to ask him about a certain player.
Come on, get to it then, man. Let's get to it.
You know what I want to find out?
Tell me.
How would he handle going up against – Patrick Mahomes. You're playing defense, and you know this kid is coming in here. He's young. He's playing like he's in the backyard, and you're just like going, okay, how do I just – I want to get a lick on this dude earlier. Mm-hmm. What is it?
How do you handle a guy like Patrick Mahomes when he basically just broke every record in the NFL? That is, you have a lot of hope. You have a lot of prayer. So it is Sunday, so I would say that everybody needs to make it to chapel.
Yep.
They all need to get there.
All right.
And then the other part, you have to believe in your game plan. You have got to absolutely believe in it. You have to have a great defensive pressure from the front that keeps him in the pocket, because when he starts running around, he is dangerous. And then as a DB and as a linebacker in coverage, man, you have got to stay on your guy. And don't think that man is covered, because he might just throw it sidearm, he might throw it overhand, three quarters, underhand, and get him the ball.
So is discipline the word that goes into that game for
it's
you guys?
It's called pressure on the quarterback. I mean, getting after it. If you get there, I mean, it's got to get violent.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to hit him. You can't love tap him. You can't be like, hey, Mr. Mahomes, here, let me hit you. You know, you have to give him like, bam! Like, I got you.
But that's what you were saying is you guys have to be disciplined. You know how to play that position. That's why I thought from a defensive standpoint, you know, you can't get all worked up, as you said, into when he starts running. I got to be disciplined. I got to stay in my lane here and follow this guy.
Absolutely. So it's discipline, but not being surprised. So it's you know, one of the things you get on your man and you're running around. You think, oh, there's no way that he would throw this ball. And I think pretty much all year he has defied the odds in terms of, there's, you know, they say, don't throw back across the middle. Hey, don't throw the ball sidearm.
Yeah.
Hey, don't throw the ball here. And for the most part, everything that they've told a quarterback not to do, he's pretty much done it and done it well.
Yep. And he's got home field today against New England. Are you breaking the huddle? You're looking across the other side and you're seeing Tom Brady. And you know what this guy does all the time. What, if anything, do you do? Can you rattle him? Can you get inside his head? That seems like an impossible thing to do.
I was waiting for the commercial. After the Chiefs won and the Patriots won last week, I was looking for the commercial that showed the people of Kansas City like using sign language throughout the week because they were resting their voices. and they were like, like miming to each other. They had signs and they were communicating because they know it has to get loud. So, number one, throughout the week, it's about encouraging your fans to show up. I mean, we need every bit of the loudest stadium in the league to show up on Sunday, on today. And then the other part is you got to finish them. I mean, if anything, you know, people down here in Atlanta, we know it happened a couple of years ago. We know the Patriots will not give up. They've got too much history. They're going to constantly adjust. And when the game is over, if they've lost, it's not because they didn't stop adjusting. It's just because they lost. So the Chiefs, if they want to beat them, you have to beat them.
Yeah.
Beat them, beat them, beat them, beat them, beat them.
That is Chris Drabb. Boy, I tell you, it's like sucking on a power line in here when he comes up here. I love it.
Oh, we're going to talk about the Saints next.
Yeah, I was going to say, talking
about
noise in
stadiums. Oh, man.
We're going to get him worked up, and he is not too happy to look across at who's producing the show, especially being a former Falcon. But we do the show on. We move on. Sam and Greg, Chris Drabb joining us. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, Sam and Greg. I haven't had you do it in a while. Mr. Crenshaw, would you please? It's a what?
Game day Sunday.
There you go. Rams and Saints. We got Patriots and Chiefs. What's on the menu today for you? Or are you going to be out and about?
I may be out and about. I got to see for sure.
We are joined this hour by Chris Drabb, Renaissance Man. We're just going to give you that title.
I'll take it.
Yeah, that's what you are, Renaissance Man.
We'll get into the last segment, and we'll explain why.
We'll do that.
So many things.
We spent most of last segment talking about the Patriots and the Chiefs and those two quarterbacks. Now, we're going to take you back to your playing days before we get to the game, because you were talking about the noise that Kansas City fans are hoping to make that distracts Tom Brady. I don't think so much that open-air stadium, that noise doesn't stay in there, but a place it does is a place you played in.
Yes.
And that is the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. What is it going to be like in that building today for big games? You've been in there for big games, but what's it going to be like for that Rams team going into this?
It's going to be absolutely crazy. I mean, they are going to be loud, loud, and loud. And let me tell you, the Kansas City has been proven to be the loudest stadium out there. So that really tells you a lot. So this is an open-air stadium without the covers. For them to be the loudest, those folks are crazy.
I find that just
so it's just true.
It's true.
And I've got family out there, man. I know they're crazy. Kansas City folks is crazy.
Too much
but let's get to New Orleans. So That Silverdome's going to be rocking, man. And I think that's the key. Just like with the Patriots in Kansas City, the Patriots handling the loud stadium is going to be key to their having a chance to win. And then the Rams being able to, you know, to be able to work through their offense with that crowd noise too. And now the good thing for them is they did play down there during the year, and so they're ready for it being loud. Now it's going to be another level because this is the NFC Championship, right. They're going to turn it up. But they should be ready in terms of that. The other part, unfortunately for the Rams, is that they should be ready because there were a whole bunch of Dallas Cowboy fans at the Coliseum last week too. So they're kind of used to even at home. Again, I'm kind of hating, but not. I'm just telling the truth.
No, you're right. Them and the Chargers this year were kind of like all their games were road games.
I went to the Rams Green Bay game. It had to be 60-40 Packers fans to Rams fans, and
really.
And I was there with a big group of cancer survivors because it was the crucial catch game. And you know, I'm over there politicking. You know, I'm talking and hanging out. And next thing you know, and I didn't have my eyes on the field, so I turn around. That's right. And then I'm like, ooh, that was for the Packers. And so I had to realize that if I had to go and look, I had to get my eyes back around, you know, and find what play happened before I started cheering because there were so many people there.
Yeah. Spending time this morning. Chris Graff in studio with us in the Kia studio with us at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is we're just a couple of weeks away from the Super Bowl coming. All right, Chris, I'm going to put you in the Rams huddle, which you've been in the Rams huddle. You played for them for a time. You're breaking the huddle, and you're looking out, and here comes Drew Brees with Alvin Kamara. A little different from the usual Saints back in the day where he threw the ball to the receivers. Now he's got this guy that's going to come out the backfield that can do some damage.
Well, they had Sproles down there for a little bit, but this guy's he's the truth. I mean, you know, anybody that's watched the game, you see he's one of those transformative guys that you always have to account for and know where he is. But I think it's the same way as when we're talking about the Chiefs and the Patriots, the Rams and the Saints. It's the team that is more physical, the team that goes in and beats the other one down. We see a guy like Kamara, in terms of his weight, he's not so big, but he breaks a lot of tackles. So when we're talking about being physical is going to show up in the ability to tackle and the ability to have impact tackle. So it's not just arm tackle, get them down, but really hitting them, wrapping them up, and then getting a whole bunch of friends to the party.
I said this at the beginning of the year when talking about this Saints team. It reminded me if they fired on all cylinders, this was going to be like the team that got John Elway his first championship ring when Terrell Davis showed up finally. Like, Drew Brees didn't really need it to win that 09 Super Bowl, but now, late in his career, he needs that running back. And this is the team that reminded me of that old one. I don't know if it's fair to compare the two, but when you look at this guy going into this matchup against the Rams, I don't know what we're going to get out of the Rams, but you kind of know what you're going to get out of the Saints, and you know what you're going to get out of this offense. I ask you, Chris, we talk about these four teams today, and we talk about these coaches. We've got three, at least, Hall of Fame coaches. One, you know, you don't know what's going to happen with McVay moving down the road, but which one of these guys would you like to play for? You know, if you had, you know, you had your choice right now, winning team, you want to play for Sean?
I mean, that's a great question. I mean, when you think of a guy like Bill Belichick, I almost played for the New England Patriots when I went to the Carolina Panthers. And because I didn't play for the Patriots, I have to just throw a huge amount of hate, you know, and you guys understand. But I have a deep amount of respect. So there's a lot of hate being thrown, but then there's a deep amount of respect. And so, you know, would you love to play for a team where you know you're going to the playoffs? A team where you know, I mean, when you talk about this is a Super Bowl year, I mean, it's not like, hey, you think we have a chance? Like, you know, you always have a chance. And that's pretty much how it's been for them. They've gone to 8 straight AFC championship games.
All right, let me ask you this way then. Okay, so you got three coaches that, like I said, bound for the Hall of Fame. Peyton is what he is. He's kind of, you know, we have a perception of Andy Reid. You just talked about Belichick. I don't know what compartment to put Sean Payton in. But getting back to Belichick and saying you'd like to play for him, here's my question to you. Mm-hmm. What we also know about Belichick is he gets rid of guys while they still got gas in the tank.
Yep.
Wouldn't that bother you as a player knowing that even though, you know, I'm still good to go and I don't think there's anybody out there better at my position, this dude's getting rid of me because of what I might be next year?
That's true. But I think for me, I never was in that position where you were going to get that break the bank type of money. Those are the guys that he ends up, you know, letting go. But I think if you look at it from the other side, from a team side, not just the player side, is he's done just a tremendous job of making sure that team stays together, getting rid of guys and bringing in guys at the right time. So, you know, you might leave, but everybody's going to leave. That's the way the game is. There's always going to be somebody that comes in. When we look at the Patriots, you know, you see Tom Brady and you think of the five championships, but Tom Brady's the only one that's had five championships. So those teams have changed, they've evolved, and I think that's the true greatness of Belichick is that as the team has changed and evolved, that they've been able to get similar guys in and be able to make the same kind of plays.
They have been doing that quite consistently. Talk about this Rams defense, because I think a lot of people talk about offense. It could be the defense that makes the difference on a day like today. They got a stout front line that really showed up last week, and to me, those guys could be the difference.
I think that's absolutely the difference maker in this game. I've watched them all during the season. I think they've got there's still a lot more that they have. I mean, when you have Aaron Donald and Adamakan Sue right in the middle, you got the defensive player of the year along with Adamakan Sue, who is that type of guy too. And then you got some rushers. The linebackers are solid, and then the DBs have just been hurt. So I think the key to the game is you absolutely have to have tremendous pressure up front. But really, what I'm looking at is Peters and Tlaib playing with discipline. Yeah. All right? Because every once in a while, they are such tremendous athletes. They are amazing. But every once in a while, they just lose their minds. You know, hopefully a Saints player doesn't have a chain like Crabtree, so Tlaib doesn't want to grab it. Or that Peters just, every once in a while, he just takes a break. And he just kind of says, I'll make the play the next time. And so they're great players. But hopefully, because this game is a championship game, they will stay focused, stay on it the whole game, and they'll be the difference maker. There's going to be balls that are up in the air where their length and their ability is going to allow them to make a play that should, you know, will be a difference maker in the game.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, joined by Chris Draft. Is there a game that stands out during your career that you played in that Superdome that stands out?
Wow. I mean, every game stands out, but let me give you this game. I was playing for the 49ers my second year in the league, and we went down to New Orleans, and we were basically getting our A's whooped. I mean, I'm not going to say the other word because, you know, last time y'all said you were going to get me in trouble because saying certain words.
We know where to hit the button
and
now.
A word, you know, we were getting whooped, man. And I'm not going to throw my buddy under the bus. I'm not going to do it because I just don't want to say somebody's name, but I can tell you at halftime, Jim Mora Jr. was our defensive coordinator, and he basically said, the defense is playing like trash, we are terrible, all of you guys, what the heck is wrong with you? And he pointed out somebody, and that somebody kicked the chair, started crying, and said, I don't want to play no more, and at halftime, walked out of the locker room.
Whoa. Whoa.
I'm not saying no names.
Oh, my.
Because I'm not one to gossip. That is the memory. I mean, we had some tremendous games against them, you know, Falcons and Saints. I mean, those were always, you know, we're beating each other up. That is the Southern rivalry. Regardless of what people say, man, that is a rival game. That is like an Alabama-Auburn, you know, that is a Georgia, somebody else, Georgia Tech and everybody else. I mean, it is a huge game. And, you know, so it was always something that came right down to the end. But the game that really stood out was just being there in my second year in the league and seeing a grown man just say he didn't want to play anymore.
I tell you don't want to tell on him. We'll ask you who the name is during the break, tell on him.
We won't.
That was 99. So was that a George Seifert-led team?
That was a Steve Mariucci-led team.
I forgot about Mariucci.
Yeah.
Forgot about the Mooch. Yeah. He left there and went to Detroit.
Detroit. Right? No. Now he's Mr. with NFL Network, NFL Network for some time. That said, how do you feel about the possibility of the Saints coming to play this game?
Well, I tell you, I think the key, there's a lot of Atlanta fans out there, I feel you. You guys are listening right now, and you're over there saying, I will be, you know, that other word, if the Saints come marching into Atlanta. All right? So I feel you on that. Being a guy that never played for the Saints, I absolutely feel you. And in my heart and my soul, I understand what you're feeling. But what I want you to understand is that they have to come to Atlanta, which means Atlanta, as a city, already won.
How about that?
By having the Super Bowl here, by having Super Bowl 53 in the ATL, the city of Atlanta already won. So they're going to have to play. So right now we're trying to figure out who's going to win the NFC championship game, who's going to win the AFC championship game. But I know one thing that is undeniable, that's already been confirmed, that everybody already knows, is that ATL already won.
And you know why ATL's won? Because we got Pepsi-Cola stuff all over every building in town. I mean, the money that's coming through this joint, and this is every city that has a Super Bowl, it happens here. It happens here. A lot of this stuff is happening not far from where we are, and you got a bird's eye view of it. When we come back, we're going to talk about that, what people can get ready for in the city, and some things you have coming up during Super Bowl week, because I know you're going to be a busy guy.
In the meantime, we're going to pass the plate. Reverend Draft needs a drink of water. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Right here, 92.9 The Game. I got me still doing it.
What? What?
Because Chris was talking about what he's got coming up in his world. We started calling him a Renaissance man, and the things we're going to talk about this segment, we'll play that out. And one of the things he mentioned, can I say that? Well, you're going to be in Ireland.
I'm in Ireland.
Yes, and so it's got me talking like this because I was feeling all Kylie McGregor like.
Yeah.
Didn't say it was good. It was just the way it come out.
Yeah, really.
Two or three things like that.
We got Super Bowl 53 coming to town, and Chris, when people who are, it's been a while since the game has been here, you go to the Super Bowl, the cities where the game is played each and every year. Just a general overview of what people should get ready for. I know the traffic's going to get crazy, but there's so many things that are going to be happening in this city that people can going to see.
I think the biggest thing is realizing that the Super Bowl is not just a game.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the hardest thing for people who haven't gone to Super Bowl week.
Right.
Is they only think about the game. So when you say it to somebody who hasn't gone, they say, yeah, you're going to the Super Bowl. Well, no, I'm going to be at the Super Bowl in the city. And they're like, no, you're going to the Super Bowl. And they're not realizing all of the things that are happening around it. And you really can't understand it until you're here. So it's 20 years. You know, it's been a while since the Super Bowl was here the last time. So I think there's a lot of people that are going to have a refresher, along with the fact there's so many people that have moved here since then that they're going to realize that this is there's so many things that are going on and so many opportunities to really show off the city of Atlanta. And that's what's going to happen.
And it's not all just things social. People know that all the players, a lot of players come to town. They have some of them are by contract for things that they endorse. They have to make appearances, some because of organizations and causes that you support. We're going to get into that in just a moment. But also, it's a networking opportunity. I've heard about an event that ex-players are coming, looking to make that transition to after football, and there's going to be a networking event. Guys are going to come here and bring their resumes. And I think that's some of the different kind of things that take place at Super Bowl time that people don't think about.
I got news for you. You know what's happening this year and this is where I step in, that's happening that heretofore hadn't? You talked about that, and you're absolutely right. But you know where those resumes are turning into? They're turning into demos.
Yeah.
I'm helping one right now.
Yeah.
We talked about our friend Isaiah Johnson.
Yeah.
I got him a photographer last week, and he had already met my agent. Mm-hmm. You got NFL players. We're talking about football, but baseball. All the players are looking for that career
after they finish playing, they know what's happening,
they know the industry, the movie industry is here. And so Isaiah Johnson, like a number of other people, he, by the way, let me give you a quick update on him. He was with the Rams. He got let go during the season. He thought he was going to get picked up by Tampa Bay. He did not. But I talked to him last week, and he has been signed by Indianapolis. So he's going to be at the Colts camp coming up. But he's getting ready for post-football. And he wants to get signed by one of the agents here in town. So that's what's going to be – this is going to be a strange mix when you got like Will Smith and Martin Lawrence in town filming Bad Boys, and then you got all these athletes that live here in town. It's going to be unique.
Well, I think that's Atlanta. I mean, when there's so many people that live here, so that from active and retired players, this is a place where we've got more than any other city in the country. So the idea that there is this networking that's going to happen, I mean, that's naturally what happens here in Atlanta. But when the Super Bowl comes, it is that much more because you're bringing everybody else here. And I think, in general, that's what this game is. So you're having a great time, but you have people from all over, these influencers from all over the world that are descending on Atlanta.
Yeah.
America. So you better talk to somebody.
America's only unofficial holiday.
It is.
Sam
it
and
is.
Greg joined by Chris Draft here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
You just got a special event that you're going to be a part of. Usually there's several special events you're going to be a part of. You've been a part of the gospel experience before. You sang in the choir. I don't know what it's like singing and praising with some guys that several weeks before trying to give you the business on the field. Now really? Y'all up there singing and being nice.
I tell you, it's always an honor to be in the choir with real singers and then myself. And it's 20 years of the event. It'll be down here in Midtown. And Melanie Few Harris, who is tremendous Atlanta lady, is the leader of the gospel show. So it's coming back here to Atlanta. This is where it's from. And, if you want to see some people really just praising and singing, man, come on out. That's on Thursday night.
Yep, and then you got something else that's some good food.
Man, a taste of the NFL. So it's been my honor to represent the Atlanta Falcons since 2012 at the Taste of the NFL. And this fundraiser, I mean, it's just an amazing event where there's over 32 chefs from all representing all the teams, but then there's some other ones, and then players that represent all those different teams. And this event, this fundraiser is for the food bank.
Of that particular city.
So not just that particular city. So the money is going to get split up from the Taste of the NFL. It'll get split up. But there's a Kick Hunger Challenge, and that money will go directly to the Atlanta Community Food Bank. And I had a chance to go out on Friday with the food bank, and we were down by the airport, and we're giving out food to our TSA workers.
There you
and
go.
I was down there, and they're going to be adding some of the other federal workers, it was like, this is why we do it. I mean, when you look at the Taste of the NFL site, you'll see a bunch of wine. You'll see people dancing, and you'll see them having a great time and taking pictures. But the real deal is we are supporting the food bank.
Yeah.
And I think, everybody out there knows that unfortunately, the shutdown is not exactly going anywhere. And so the people that aren't getting paid, we have to find a way to assist them in some type of way. And so it's been an honor to be able to represent the Falcons, but even more so this year, where we have a chance to really – make a difference in people's lives that need it that much more.
You know, he said something that reminded me of something I heard this past week. Might actually work. You want to end this shutdown? Have every TSA worker walk out.
You can't have everybody
walk
out.
No, I'm saying if they were to all walk out.
There are a lot of things you can say.
I'm saying it's one of the things that might just shut it down. You shut down the airports in this country like that, at once, somebody's going to get on the phone and start talking.
Yep.
That was something I just heard this past week.
We don't want it to come to that.
We don't want it to come to that. Of course not. Got some folks trying to get to this city.
There was the one thing, obviously, you're going to be doing, obviously, with the lung cancer survivors. And, talk about the people you're bringing to the Super Bowl.
So I'm so excited this year, Sam. We are here. The Super Bowl is in Atlanta. And we had our fifth year of our Lung Cancer Survivors Super Bowl Challenge. And our winner is actually from here in Atlanta. Her name is Patty Watkins.
Patty. Shout out to Patty.
And so Patty has raised with the American Cancer Society for the National Lung Cancer Roundtable. And again, I'm so excited because it means that the American Cancer Society is saying loud that research matters.
Yeah.
And that seems like something that is obvious when we think about cancer. But unfortunately, with lung cancer, the American Cancer Society has only really talked publicly about the prevention side. Even though they've supported research, publicly they've only said prevention. So this year, this time, it is so amazing. It is historic that they are going to say that research matters, and that they've stood with Patty. And because they stood with Patty, Patty is going to go represent at the Super Bowl, and she's going to be there hanging out and watching whoever's there. But just like the fact that Atlanta won already.
Yeah.
The lung cancer community has won because Patty stood up and is going to the Super Bowl.
That's fantastic.
Give everybody the information, where they can find the information on all the things that you are doing. Is it under one umbrella, like the Chris Draft Family Foundation, all those things that you do on the periphery?
They can go to the ChrisDraftFamilyFoundation.org, and they'll be able to see the things that we're doing. They can go to TeamDraft.org. Again, there's some amazing things that happen. Wednesday, I'm actually going to be with some Wounded Warriors. I've been able to play games with them at the Super Bowl since 2012. We actually, on Veterans Day this past year, were at Green Bay playing on Lambeau Field at halftime.
Wow.
Amazing. Nice. So it's an event basically from 6 to 8 down in Fairburn if there's some folks that want to see something amazing, and that is seeing double-leg amputees, seeing a single-leg amputee, veterans running around the field. I mean, if you want to see that, there'll be some other Falcons alums and everybody else. But if you want to see something amazing, come on down on Wednesday. And then, like I said, the gospel show is on Thursday. You know, Friday night, there's going to be amazing stuff. Saturday night is a tasty NFL. Definitely come out. Remember, it is a party for a purpose. But right now, understand that purpose is real. And that the Kick Hunger Challenge, you can go to tasteofnfl.com, support Atlanta. That money will go directly to the Atlanta Community Food Bank.
Yes.
It's absolutely important. Tomorrow on King Day, I'm actually going to be out. We're going to be giving out food to some of our families that have kids, because we understand how critically important that kids have their bellies are full when they're going to school,
right,
so that they can perform. So it's not just about taking care of our people that are now losing a paycheck, but then there are people that have been struggling, and making sure that for their kids that doesn't impact them, and making sure that they're able to get things done. And man, just so much. Again, I'm so excited. I mean, Sam's talked about the murals. I'm just excited, man. The Super Bowl coming to Atlanta.
It's Sam and Greg. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.